Hello, everyone. Welcome to Camilo's Radio Hour here on Radio Laurier. It is 10.03 p.m. here on the Wednesday night, and I hope everyone is having a good week and they're taking it easy. This week's weather report saw the cold of February 1 month ahead. I felt the cold at my knees. It made them buckle and wiggle. It's just been cold. Really has been. The seasons feel like they have shifted over a month. Didn't even know that could happen. But it brings trouble ahead. It'll soon be summer. And it's either going to be a really short summer or an oddly elongated summer. That will continue into what we normally call the fall. Daylight savings. That happened again this week. It's still 9 o'clock right now if we're using real time. But I don't recommend anyone use real time because it would seriously undermine the effectiveness of daylight savings. The days extend past 6 o'clock now, so keep an eye out for the lengthening of days. As for school, there's no time at all for that, so don't blame yourself. Blame the absence of time, if there was such a thing could be held liable. In other news, the Oscars were on this past Sunday, and Brendan Fraser won the award for Best Actor in The Whale, a story about a man reconnecting with his daughter. A long way from Journey to the Center of the Earth for Brendan Fraser. That's the movie I know him before. I know him from before all of this whale fiasco. It was a decent movie for me at the time when I saw it several years ago. Journey to the Center of the Earth. I saw it a few times when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I have not seen it since. It will be added to the to-do list. Brendan Fraser is also of Canadian descendants. His parents are Canadians, and he spent his high school years in Toronto. So his success is a good opportunity to remind ourselves of the domestic outputs of this country. What kind of things does Canada produce, and who do they trade them with? Brendan Fraser was educated in Canada and went on to win an award in America. He was traded for an unknown value, but whatever he was holding on to yielded a satisfactory result this past weekend. Nonetheless, whatever Brendan Fraser has accomplished, some of it is due to Canada. So keep an eye out for the next Brendan Fraser as you go on with your day in this beautiful country. You never know, there may be another one in the making. A future actor or actress being molded around you, in your surroundings, picking up on the details and life experience that will someday lead to an Academy Award. It could be you. I wouldn't know. Tonight, I hope you're up for another dive into the world of Bob Dylan. We're going to be looking at another aspect of his life, informing you more about Bob Dylan, who he is, what he did, why he matters, why he's considered the best singer-songwriter of modern history. The show is integrated with hand-picked song selections that will give you an immersive experience into the concepts we will be discussing. I invite you to follow along, empty your mind, and listen remotely. It will be a night of song and lyrics, with a vibe of poetry and knowledge. So let us begin with the Bob Dylan Song of the Week. This is a song that emphasizes Dylan's creative abilities. Not that they need to be emphasized, because a lot of his songs do so at face value. It is at times redundant to point out this information. However, this is a beautiful song and it needs its proper introduction. It's taken out of the basement tapes sessions, which were recordings that were never meant to be released officially. It was compiled into the Complete Basement Tapes collection, a bootleg album that came out years later. Like 30 years later, but the song was also released as a single in the early 70s, I will say. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. If not, Switch it up. At the time, Bob Dylan and the band just played these melodies for the sake of playing beautiful melodies. I think it's a fantastical song, and it sounds right the way they sang it. This is I Shall Be Released, Take 2 by Bob Dylan and the band. Please enjoy this selection. Literature was crammed into Bob Dylan at a young age. Schoolwork has always been a facilitator for interacting with literature. And Bob Dylan's elementary school years and high school years were no exception. He read a lot of the classics in school, such as A Tale of Two Cities, Brave New World, Salinger. I wonder if he read Lord of the Flies, because everyone in my generation did. And we remember the eyebrow-raising, questionable behaviors of the young children stranded on an island without supervision, set during World War II. And this affected people in a variety of ways. One of them definitely being affected by Lord of the Flies in no particular sense whatsoever. It's a book. That part was clear. What do you want me to do about that? Bob Dylan would not really agree with you on that perspective. His experience with literature was much more profound and world-building. I don't know if he read The Lord of the Flies, but his work with literature translated into the works of music. And this can be most evident in his early productions that were very profound for a person his own age. He was 20 years old when he released The Freewheeling Bob Dylan. The song I'm going to play for you is a highlight from this second album, and it is a very dense song. Like most of his works, he throws in a lot of lyrics. And for someone who's 20 years old, think of it, someone like you right now, it'd be pretty difficult for you to put together a couple of a string of words, a string of this many words, and have it all make sense. But this young man did it. And he credits his elementary school education and the books he read in class as the tools that gave him the skills to write songs like this. I present to you Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's Are Gonna Fall. I invite you to enjoy this selection. Bob Dylan was first inspired by Woody Guthrie, who had been inspired by Walt Whitman. And Walt Whitman will be forever interconnected with Walter White from that particular TV show. A major plot point of Breaking Bad is centered around Walter White's phonetically similitude to Walt Whitman's specific name. And so I can't think of one of them without thinking about the other. But this isn't about Walt Whitman or Walter White at this point. This is about Woody Guthrie and how he tried to describe America in little pictures he called songs. And Woody Guthrie's mission was to capture the living conditions of the average American of the Midwest during his lifetime, around the 1940s. And Guthrie sang about the struggles, the mundanity, and the relative peace of life in America. However, Guthrie was blacklisted from radios due to his leftist-leaning political ideology, and he was not a huge hit on radios, but he stirred an underground community of folk artists, and eventually they broke into popular music. Bob Dylan was strongly influenced by Woody Guthrie. And when he arrived to New York, he was a Woody Guthrie fan. He moved to New York to meet his hero. And that's what he did. He was a he was following the footsteps of Woody Guthrie. And this is most evident in his self-titled debut album, Bob Dylan, which is a wonderfully presented first album. Is often overlooked as his as the beginning of his career because it's a collection of covers and traditional folk songs, which was very typical for folk artists at the time. And it didn't really make a splash in the industry. However, his second album gained incredible amounts of attention, and that album then is often recognized as, it's just a lot of people reference that album to be, I guess, more influential. But his first album is nonetheless wonderful. Out of the collection of covers, two songs of the album were originals, and they were almost undeniable products that came from listening to Mr. Woody Guthrie. This song in particular is dedicated to his hero, Song to Woody by Bob Dylan. I'm going to play for you this song. Enjoy the selection. Dylan was first inspired by Woody Guthrie. Then he began reading the works of other celebrated poets. He cites Arthur Rimbaud as his favorite poet, claiming that when he heard Rimbaud's dictum, the line about I is someone else, the bells rang off and it made perfect sense. He copied Rimbaud's disarrangement of all senses with his look and his lifestyle. But he wasn't the only poet he was influenced by. Bob Dylan looked up to the contemporary poets of his time, like Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg, poets of the Beat Generation, and poets from older generations, such as Dylan Thomas and John Keats. And he also looked at American blues and roots singers, like Robert Johnson and Leadbelly. And these influences crowded Dylan's mind over the years, and their ideas were piling up on each other. And they began to surface in the form of one-liners, which Dylan began to write down. And he credits a lot of the songs from his early albums to these lines. A collection of his one-liners, poetics and prose, were released later in a book called Tarantula. And in Tarantula, it's notable for containing many phrases that suggest lyrics from his albums Highway 61 and Bringing It All Back Home. Dylan would read poetry and immerse himself with the works of these creators, and from them it would create some sort of memorable quote or idea. He would write it down, and then after bringing these things, seemingly unrelated ideas, and bringing them to together, he would create his literary songs, like the song I played for you already. A lot of songs in this catalog are just a continuous flow of words. And every once in a while, you'll pay attention to one of the lines and it will just hit you a certain way. And this is because these lines are one-liners in a sense. So I want to play for you now a song that I think is another flow of literature. It's backed up by musical instruments, and Dylan performs it with rhythm. But it's really just, it's a poetry. It's could also be read, I'm sure, This is Gates of Eden by Bob Dylan. Please enjoy the selection. Dylan cites three stories that had the most influence on his life. Books that he read in grammar school that whose themes somehow found their way into his songs as he wrote them down, either intentionally or just unintentionally. The three stories he named were Moby Dick, All Quiet on the Western Front, and The Odyssey. So the first one, Moby Dick, is, as described by Bob Dylan, the story of Captain Ahab, a man consumed by vengeance and stubbornness of his own thoughts. He pursues the whale, whom he calls the embodiment of evil. And he doesn't listen to the advice predicting his doom and the common sense that states it would be better to leave the whale alone. Ahab is driven to this goal, and he pursues the idea of slaying Moby Dick to the ends of the world. And on the voyage, he takes a ship and a crew, and one of the crew members, Ishmael, is the narrator of this story. And Ishmael is a sailor on the voyage, and he's telling you this story, and he explains to you how the tale came to an end. Ahab lowered the boats and tried to hunt the whale, and the whale hit back, and the ship sank, and Ahab and a lot of them died. Ishmael survived, and he's got nowhere to go. He's cursed now. He's floating at sea, unlikely to ever make his way back home. Unlikely to make it back home alive. Dylan cites this story as the story that introduced as an influential story. So I chose for Moby Dick a song called You Ain't Going Nowhere. And it's taken out from Dylan's Basement Tapes, the album that we previously talked about. And this song was recorded along with the band and was never intended for official release, although it was compiled together with a few other tracks, recordings from that time period, and released in the Basement Tapes in 1975. And this song kind of gives me an image of Ishmael floating on the sea, a castaway. He's got nowhere to go, and thus ain't going nowhere. Please enjoy the selection. Moving down the list, the next story that influenced Bob Dylan in a significant way was All Quiet on the Western Front. And to this, Bob Dylan describes it as a horror story, an embodiment of hell on earth. Machine guns, body parts, pools of blood, disease, despair, violence, and bloodshed everywhere. The characters don't understand why they're fighting this war. They used to be a different person. They would never hurt a fly. Now they're killing people, and their job is to kill more people every day until they themselves are killed. And Dylan describes this story as a story that makes you lose faith in the government that ordered this war. The conditions of the war, of the world, of the war, the conditions of the war in trenches were unforgivable. They sent these people to a world of despair and to an eventual death. But they were supposed to protect them. The government was supposed to watch out for them. And so Dylan cites this story And he believes this story spooked them really in a strong way. And so from here, I can almost easily relate it to Bob Dylan's anti-war songs that kind of launched his career in the early 60s. And this was Dylan's, Dylan's rise to fame was through these political anti-war songs. And I chose one song that in particular does this very well. And it highlights his stance on how opposed he is to war, but he does it very creatively. And the song goes on to describe the several wars America has been a part of. And it takes the position of the American government, as it were, and tries to give every war a sort of silver lining. The silver lining that they survived, that they won, that their enemies lost, and they're going to keep doing the same thing. The country will continue to survive, and they will continue to win wars, and they will persist. And this sort of irony is lures you into the works of Dylan. It takes a lot to kind of craft a song like this that can address this anti-war theme in a sort of indirect and creatively unique way. So I'm going to play it for you now, this With God on Our Side by Bob Dylan. Please enjoy the selection. The last of the three is The Odyssey, the epic of Odysseus, a war general attempting to make his way home. But he is cursed. He is cursed to wander. According to Dylan, there's two paths to take, and both of them are wrong. Odysseus tries to get home, but he is tossed and turned by the winds that blow him no good. This is a story about the obstacles that get in the way of being at peace. Eventually, he gets home, and the situation is not much better. There's people who have overtaken his home and are trying to steal his wife. And so, his last labor is to clean up the mess of his homeland that started breaking down as soon as he left home. And after all that, at last, after the course of an entire epic, he is home at last. He is back to where he wanted to be, back to where he should have been before the war. And he sits with his wife and he tells her stories. And eventual peace makes for a happy ending. And this song, Dylan relates to the everyday life of the people, you and I, himself. We're all on a journey to find our way back to peace. And things get in our way, and they overcomplicate life, and they distract you. And you think life's about doing this big thing, but then you realize that's not even what you want. What you want is to go, is to be at peace, to go home, and to just be with your loved ones, tell each other stories. And this is what Dylan takes away from The Odyssey. And The Odyssey was written by Homer, and it is a long-lasting piece of literature in Western society, the original, actually. It is the oldest literary work in the Western literary canon, this collection of, like, books that have influenced our societies. And Homer is the first one. So it's great that it was that this has influenced Bob Dylan in a remarkable way, and it has influenced a lot of people over the course of the year, of the years. The selection I have picked is one last look into one last pick from the Basement Tapes. This song is called Open the Door, Homer, and it interests me because it makes a reference to Homer in the title, and I don't know what the song is about, so I don't know what he means by this. Open the Door, Homer, by Bob Dylan. Maybe it means that Homer is opening the doors to Western society by writing the Iliad and the Odyssey. Or maybe it's the doors that Homer opened in the life of Bob Dylan and how it inspired him to write these songs. Or maybe it's just a nice title for a creative song that him and the band kind of worked up. And it's meant to make reference to things that are popular in the culture. So I'm going to play for you this last song, and that's going to be the end of the episode for today. So I want to thank you all. I appreciate all the listeners and anyone tuning in from home. I hope you tune again soon. I hope you had the chance to appreciate some of the folk tunes delivered tonight on this radio hour, and you learned something about Bob Dylan, maybe even some bits of literature that were involved with his life. I now turn on the tracks and silence the mic. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.